Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, October 19th, 2018. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Cliff Schechter.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Cliff Schechter will be here with us, folks. Starting early today, end of a long week. Got to get on a jet plane, go to California. Meanwhile, this sounds amazing, but conservatives are now mounting a smear campaign against Jamal Khashoggi, presumably to justify why he was murdered and chopped up into pieces as a way of defending Donald Trump. Welcome to America, ladies and gentlemen. Meanwhile, last night, Donald Trump promotes more violence against journalists. Absentee voting already underway across the country, including in Georgia, where Stacey Abrams is neck and neck with voters who are presumed to not be disenfranchised. So important to get out and vote, folks, because you know there will be other people whose votes are not going to be counted, probably because they're black. Meanwhile, Rick Scott may have a Me Too problem as well as his Me Corrupt problem he already had. And the U.S. to eliminate the Palestinian mission and merge it with the Israeli embassy. And lastly, an ex-Trump advisor is suing Chapo Trap House. All this and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. My computer's not working that well, so forgive me if I'm a little bit disjointed. I've had a rather, like, technically difficult past 24 hours, haven't I?
Yeah.
Hopefully this doesn't extend to the plane. Am I right?
Ah, jeez.
That's me knocking on wood.
Right, knocking on wood. We'll be fine. Everybody will be fine, ladies and gentlemen. It is November 19th, and back of the envelope type. Well, I'll count them out because we have less than 2 weeks away? No, we've got about 2.5 weeks. It's going to be November 7th is Election Day. And all hell is going to break loose after this election. I'm telling you this now. That could involve firings of DOJ officials. That could involve potential attacks on other countries. But this lame duck session is going to be nuts, I think. This is my sense.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, it's going to be a lame duck session. The question is, who's going to return on January 21st or January 20th, whenever the Congress is inaugurated? But there's no doubt in my mind. Democrats win, Republicans win. We're going to see some firings. And the question is, and we may see some attempts to engage in a war. Maybe it'll be worse if the Democrats win in the short term till they get into office in terms of the way that Trump reacts. It's unclear. But I can tell you that in terms of long term, if Democrats are not controlling the House, look to cuts in Social Security. Look to cuts in Medicare. Look to cuts across the board. Think about the sequester without the military cuts. And it will not be like the first 2 years of this administration, because there will have been a validation of Trump and the Republicans. And they're all, you're starting to see this now, right? The Never Trump movement is basically dead. There's a couple of stragglers who have decided they're really not Never Trump anymore. They're just going to call themselves Democrats. And all well and good. It's nice to have four more votes nationally. But the Never Trump movement is dead. There is no hesitation anymore about Republican leadership signing on to a Trump agenda, signing on to a Trump methodology. And we're going to play this in a little bit when Cliff is here, but make no mistake about it. Donald Trump has showed them, like, this is the way you can win. And I don't know if they're right or they're wrong, but they don't have many options. That's the problem. There is no there is no other options for them. So Trumpism, and I don't mean that in terms of policy. In terms of policy, it's the same. But
fascism is politics aestheticized, right?
Right. And the politics, like the actual policy prescriptions, are more or less the same, but the methodology is a little bit different and the style is a little bit different.
Kevin, I really clarified things regards to the Never Trumpers.
Yes. And it did two things. It did that in terms of saying where everybody's aligned. But it also was the first time where we had, in the post-Trump era, the adoption of the Trump methodology, which is basically total shamelessness. Not mostly shamelessness, where I think Republicans had been for a long time, but total shamelessness. The idea that Kavanaugh could sit in that room and say the alumnus thing was an homage, and every single human being in that room knew exactly what it was and that he was lying. Every single one. And some, they were just like, well, he's going to get away with this. And the others were just like, I can't believe he's going to get away with this. But no one said a word. And there were other lies, but that to me was just the most sort of like unequivocal.
I thought the way he lied about the process, like, I've been investigated X number of times prior to this.
There's a half a dozen other lies, and at least, and, you know, outright lies, like the Manny Miranda stuff and stuff like this, but that was the most sort of obvious, like, colloquial. There was no hedging in the language. It was not like you needed some type of special information. You didn't need to know the backstory. You know, it literally would have been like if he got up there and said, 12 noon is the nighttime. You don't need to know anything. You know the guy is lying. He knows he's lying. His crying wife behind him knows he's lying. Every senator knew he was lying. Every person in the room knew he was lying, and nobody did anything. And that is, to me, sort of the, aside from, you know, knowing where the Republicans stand, that moment was when I think a lot of people in the Republican Party were like, ooh, the even the notion of like shame is no longer a political constraint. And that is super dangerous. I don't know that it makes, I don't know that it wasn't inevitable and that we certainly were on the road, but it just basically means that, like, you know, power must be taken at any point. And if he wins here, if the Republicans win here, and they're the lying that they're doing is just, you know, also shameless. We will talk about that. But, you know, we saw a glimpse of this in the past. Well, we'll save this for Cliff Schechter. But with that in mind, we have the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He's at the White House. Ostensibly, he's flown back from Saudi Arabia, right, when he's making this speech. And he went to Saudi Arabia. He's like, I need the hard answers here. I need to know what the heck. There's reports that your own personal bodyguard, Mohammed bin Salman, was there.
You did his Clouseau impression.
And Pompeo got the goods. Here he is. He's coming back to announce, like, I figured out what was going on.
I had a chance to brief the president on the travels that I returned from last evening, where I had traveled both to Riyadh and Ankara. Had a chance to talk with in Riyadh with the king, with the crown prince, with the foreign minister, all of the United States counterparts there. We made clear to them that we take this matter with respect to Mr. Khashoggi very seriously. They made clear to me that they too understand the serious nature of the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi. They also assured me that they will conduct a complete...
Pause it. The disappearance. Right? He disappeared.
Gotta love that passive voice.
Well, it's also it's just sort of like, we don't know what happened to him. We don't know if he's dead or alive. He for all we know, this could be an insurance fraud scam. The old life insurance thing. Or maybe he just really didn't want to get married.
Spontaneous combustion.
Spontaneous combustion's possible. Maybe he didn't want to get married. And so this is the only way that he didn't have the guts to break up with his fiance. So he did the old go into the embassy and go out the back door type of thing. Maybe he was picked up by a UFO. Stranger things have happened, you know, or maybe not. But, you know, at one point, it's possible someone gets teleported up to a UFO or picked up by a tractor beam. There's multiple different explanations, but he disappeared. Go back a little bit.
Understand the serious nature of the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi. They also assured me that they will conduct a complete, thorough investigation of all of the facts surrounding Mr. Khashoggi, and that they will do so in a timely fashion, and that this report itself will be transparent for everyone to see, to ask questions about, and to inquire with respect to its thoroughness. And I told President Trump this morning that we ought to give them a few more days to complete that, so that we too have a complete understanding of the facts surrounding that, at which point we can make decisions about how or if the United States should respond.
You see what you're doing in real time. We are watching people make up a story, right? Like, and apparently it's not going to be too easy because there's so much evidence that it appears to be like physical evidence in the form of like a recording that they're really having to work on, like what's going on. So like they have to do some type of investigation. Now, incidentally, one person who was reportedly of that 15, my understanding from last night, already had the misfortune of dying in a car crash. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? So they may need a couple more days to investigate. In other words, like maybe, let's see, if you got one in one day, maybe they need 2 weeks.
You have some
loose. But they're going to kill all of those guys.
Well, I'd like to call it tying up loose ends.
Right. And the U.S. government is covering for them. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I hope we see more of this. This is why all the Republicans who are running, I think that's, you know, we were sitting in here. Why are the Republicans, like, the conservatives are doing a whisper campaign smearing Khashoggi, which is, I just don't even understand what the outcome of that is. They don't want to alienate, I guess, their base. But the fact is that none of these Republicans, I mean, I don't know how going into this election, a single one of them running for reelection could actually say, like, anything other than this horror. Like, every Democratic at this point, we have a government where, you know, and it's slightly different than when we just kill people, right? Because everybody sort of bought into that as a nation. But the idea that we are running basically interference for the just naked murder of a journalist,
that's pretty crazy. The base loves that stuff, though.
Well, yeah, they're going to need a little bit more than the base. That's the problem. So they may like it from Trump, but if I'm running against Dave Brat in Virginia, let's say, I'm going to be like, will you denounce the president for covering up on this murder by the Saudis? The Saudis aren't necessarily, you know, it'd be interesting. We'll talk to Cliff about this, because I think there is a reason why Donald Trump was praising Gianforte, the other a journalist abuser. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday. And of course, in this era, nothing's casual about Fridays anymore, because it's usually just a huge news dump or something else going on. Nevertheless, I am wearing a soft collared shirt and I have queued up this little ditty.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Oh, I've missed that theme song. The back in the days when Jimmy Reefer Cake was a little bit more, I don't know, ballady with Mrs. Reefer Cake. Cliff Schechter, how are you? Cliff.
Yes, I'm hearing a little What? Nope. That sounds good. I was hearing myself for a second.
That's all right.
You don't want to do that.
Everybody's having a little technical difficulties around here today. Everybody's having a little technical problems. Cliff, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, man?
Well, you know, as well as one can be expected, I'm not going to lie. I'm starting to feel a little bit of like energy / anxiety about the midterms. I think this is...
are you one of those that likes democracy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm a fan of democracy, but I'm also, I think... my feeling is less about the fear for democracy and the more the fear for just the Republican rule, frankly,
right,
in this country. And because I think the days of Republicans hesitating and being unsure about Donald Trump, they've always shared the same policy prescriptions. But now I think they have basically worked out their differences and will.
Yeah, but I think you're undercounting the impact of all the sad faces that Ben Sasse and Jeff Flake make.
Yes, that's true. But these guys are going to be gone, right? Well, Ben Sasse will still be around.
He'll still be there to make sad faces and then go into unprecedented judicial hearings during what should be the break, so that he can then keep going and destroying norms while being very sad about all the division. And, you know, I find that really helps.
Maybe
it's just me.
I would like to touch on that in a few for folks who don't know.
Sure.
Despite the fact that Chuck Schumer made two separate deals to fast track 15 Republican judges each time, total of 30 lifetime appointments. Apparently, he didn't talk to Chuck Grassley about it, and Chuck Grassley is now holding hearings for more judges. With I don't know, three or four people are showing up. I mean, it's.
Is there anybody in the entire sort of left of, let's say, the Republican Party anywhere in there that thinks Chuck Schumer is doing a good job? I'm kind of wondering.
It's stunning to me.
I know we plan to talk about other stuff, but yeah, I do think we should touch on that because I just the deal, the not sort of making them. I mean, I'm not a Senate expert. You've probably had people on the show who are. But I do understand from my friends who've worked on the Senate floor that if they do not provide unanimous consent, they can drag their 30 hours of debate on each of these folks, which essentially they could have just sent. I mean, Tim Kaine is not what you'd call in a real race. He's running in a state that's leaning left against a neo-Confederate. And the Virginia, that would have been a problem 30 years ago, no longer. And then otherwise, you've got, you know, Maryland is right there. We happen to have some senators from there. Same with Mark Warner from Virginia. They could have just had somebody on the floor like they need to do.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm sure McConnell wouldn't do that to us. He would never, just to be a dick, you know? And that's what's so frustrating. It's like, after Kavanaugh, you're going to make deals? I would just do it. Even if you can't stop them, I would do it just to fucking ruin their vacation and make them work harder.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked about it yesterday too with Jeff Hauser, and I don't know, that's driving me crazy. But all right, let's talk about this though, because reports today by the Washington Post that conservatives, and you know how this goes, right? They're the line between what constitutes the lowest rung of the conservative taxonomy, is basically now functionally equivalent with your typical Republican senator. There is no, you know, there was a day where it was like, oh, these people, the Breitbarts and the low end folks, they're kept at arm's length. You know, Mike Cernovich isn't going to be dining at the White House, but those days are over.
Right.
And
Breitbart, they're all Breitbart now. Yeah.
The conservatives are trying to mount a whisper campaign saying that Jamal Khashoggi was Muslim Brotherhood, and that's why he should be chopped up when he goes in to get a marriage license. Yeah. And so here is, with that as the backdrop, right? And we just played a clip of Mike Pompeo coming back and saying, we're going to give them a couple more days to get their story straight and figure out how they're going to make up something.
We need to catch the real killers? Yeah,
exactly. If the glove doesn't fit, but this was interesting. Donald Trump last night, he's in, where was he in Virginia? Was it, Missoula, Montana? Sorry. And, he's at his rally and he's added
a line. Now, granted, Gene Forte is from that area, yes?
Yeah, he's a Montana guy.
Right. But how he talked about Gene Forte, he had a choice. And here's what he went for.
He's so smart. You know, we've had people, you're on live television all over the place. And we've had people get up, speak for 20, 25 minutes. And these guys are going crazy. That's not the deal. But Greg is smart. And by the way, never wrestle him. You understand that? Never. Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind of... He's my guy. I shouldn't say this, but there's nothing to be embarrassed about. So I was in Rome with a lot of the leaders from other countries talking about all sorts of things. And I heard about it.
Yeah, he heard about and now he's referring to when Gene Forte criminally body slammed a reporter. He was indicted, right? Charged and convicted.
Yes, he was.
And
You know what I love about that, though? Well, you finish first, and I'll tell you what I love even more about that.
Nothing to be embarrassed about. But I have a theory about why Trump highlighted that. You go first.
Well, I'm not giving a theory about why he highlighted it. I'm just saying I love how, in possibly the most unintended metaphor of all time, it was like, when I was in Rome, right? Like, the perfect metaphor for the falling of our empire.
Right.
Is sort of, you know, like, when he was in Rome. The one of the other places that allowed a once functioning, at least on some level, democracy to become so thoroughly corrupt, allowed the people like Gianforte and others to cross the line, the Rubicon, if you will, and to come inside and behave that way. And of course, which led to Rome turning to dust. And that's how he, of course, he's too much of a moron to have any understanding of anything. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to say your theory is that part of this is to kind of ease the burden of what happened, what's going on with Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
To defend kind of his attacks on the press, because so many Republicans, of course, have asked in a way, have pushed back your Ben Sasses and others that never do anything, so it doesn't much matter. But at least they've sort of critically said, oh, well, you know, Susan Collins tweeted out. And of course, we all know Susan Collins is going to follow up on this until that first phone call from McConnell or W, and that we need those to back off this one, and then she will. But how terrible and horrible it is with Khashoggi, we have to get to the bottom of it, and, you know, we have to, whoever it is must pay for it. But we all know in the end that they're not going to do anything. So once those voices, we've seen this movie a million times where those voices will grow quiet, the news cycle will move on, and Trump will do what he's doing right now, which is to find ways to kind of to loosen the reins and justify the media had it coming. They deserved it. And this is part of that with Gianforte. That would be sort of my theory, but go for yours. I want
to
hear yours.
No, I agree. I think that is exactly it. I mean, I think that, you know, it is, again, to muddy the waters around this particular topic that, you know, to sort of take the baseline of what kind of violence is appropriate against a reporter. I mean, I can't believe what I'm saying those words, but that, you know, just creating this dynamic of like, look, government officials, reporters, there's always like this tension that gets resolved in some type of physical thing. And, you know, the Saudis are a little bit more just they're a little bit more intense than we are. That's all that's going on here. And I think it is to mitigate, you know, the impact, the potential impact that this could have on the midterms. I mean, I think we're probably a couple of days away from seeing this become a campaign issue where, you know, just
a rally cry.
Well, a little bit.
Kavanaugh like, did, right? And all sorts of things that we believed a couple of years ago. And I would say when I think you, me, others who were already very cynical about who the Republican Party was, or how they've just pushed past the boundary on and everything, child molestation, treason, sexual assault. I mean, name the issue. Obviously, not paying your taxes for 30 years, although that might have always been a positive in the Republican Party. But why wouldn't this become a he said, she said issue? Why wouldn't they make this about if you're with our team? Because everything, again, this is what fascism is. You're with the team. And if you're with the team can do no wrong. You know what I mean? Reality is what the team says it is. So I don't see where clearly already Trump has set the tone of, they're out there looking for the real killers. It may not have been them. All the evidence we have from an audio recording to what the Turks are saying, not that the Turks are the most trustworthy right now, but in general, what a variety of evidence is telling us, a witness apparently who heard things going on and the rest, is all wrong. Just the way all the people corroborating what Dr. Ford was saying, the general behavior of Brett Kavanaugh, things that she told them afterwards, everything, didn't really happen. It was just he said, she said. And that's, I mean, there's no doubt that that's where they're headed with this. And you mentioned your Cernoviches and your Posobiec, or have you pronounced this stupid fucking name, and Breitbart and all of those guys. They're, you know, Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, the rest of the whalers, they're going to all get on board with it. And he had it coming, even Muslim Brotherhood and, you know, that kind of thing. I have no doubt.
All right, let's turn to another element of the campaign that's going on across the country. And it's fascinating. On some level, I guess it's to be expected, but on another level, it's not necessarily what I would have guessed a year ago, right? We have almost to a person. I'm sure there's some races where we don't see this, but you have Democrats running on health care, largely either against the attacks on the ACA. And there is an active attack on the ACA right now. 20 Republican states suing in federal court to get rid of
multiple attorneys general who are running for higher office. Hawley is running against Claire McCaskill in Missouri. Mike DeWine here, where I am in Ohio, running for governor. Just think it's worth pointing out some people now.
Yeah.
Schwett, the one in Michigan, running for governor. Just so you know who people are who are claiming, Scott Walker in Wisconsin running for re-election, they all claim that their pre-existing condition protection should be kept. And of course, every single one of them either supported with what they've said or is actually officially on a lawsuit that is going after making that to be something that's not required anymore.
And okay, so watch this. Ari Melber last night had a compilation of Republicans. This is a pretty good example of what we're talking about. Here, play this clip.
Everyone knows Republicans have spent years railing against Obamacare. They've tried to repeal it dozens of times in the House. The politics, though, are changing. This is a story you may have missed. But look, with the midterms approaching right now, Republican candidates in the Trump era changing there, too.
I voted to protect people with pre-existing conditions. We cannot go back to where we were before Obamacare, where people were one diagnosis away from going bankrupt.
We can protect pre-existing conditions, and you need to understand, everyone agrees we're going to protect pre-existing conditions.
Individuals with pre-existing conditions should not be denied health insurance coverage.
I'm taking on both parties and fighting for those with pre-existing conditions.
That's Dana Rohrabacher. Now, every single one of those people in that video voted.
I can't see this, but I can hear that slimy Ted Cruz from a mile away.
Indeed.
Many miles away.
Every single one of those individuals in that ad voted to gut Obamacare and get rid of pre-existing conditions protections. Every single one of them. And across the board. I mean, this has been the rallying cry for Republicans for 10 years. And this is, this is one of the things that I think people anticipated with the Affordable Care Act, is that once you get, you give people something that's a little bit better or significantly better than they had before, it just becomes like an expectation. And then the next step goes from there. But that's pretty impressive. And we have now, Donald Trump tweeted out today, or I guess this is yesterday, becoming a huge liability for the Republicans. And he tweeted out, all Republicans support people with pre-existing conditions. I don't know if they do. If they don't, they will after I speak to them. I am in total support. I don't even think he understands it. Also, Democrats will destroy your Medicare, and I will keep it healthy and well. Now,
I think what he meant to say is he supports pre-existing conditions. He's in favor of cancer. He likes he likes any pre-existing condition you could get, he's in favor of.
I just think that I like people with pre-existing conditions. That's what I'm saying.
He supports them morally.
Like the poorly educated.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, look at my African-American over there. He's great. Yeah, he doesn't know what he's saying. The ones that aren't as dumb as him, they know what they're doing. Look, there's 130 million Americans who have pre-existing conditions. Pre-existing conditions include terrible things like cancer and include much more sort of not great things, but things that affect many, many more people, like acne and anxiety, depression. Also, if you're a woman and you've been pregnant, that's a pre-existing condition. And there's a whole long list of these things, right? And I'm working on an independent expenditure project here in Southwest Ohio against the congressman, Steve Chabot. So he's done the same thing, lied and said, you know, he voted 56 times, which is how many times they voted overall. So many House members are sitting there right alongside Chabot in districts across the country. I'm sure Rohrabacher, who you played there, is probably one of them. The vast majority of them, there's very few of them, maybe a half dozen or less, who voted against junking Obamacare, and even those guys voted against it, voted for it some of the times and against it other times. And to be very clear, if you voted for getting rid of Obamacare, that is the only thing that provided this protection that said people with pre-existing conditions would be treated like everybody else when it comes to health insurance. They wouldn't be charged anymore. So what you have is, first you've got that. They're flat out lying. Then you've got on top of that a lawsuit initiated by Donald Trump, who, of course, sent that tweet out by his Justice Department, that is going after in court because of what the Supreme Court did a couple of years ago with Obamacare and saying that undermining it, and because of what the Senate did and the House did, sorry, Congress, in getting rid of the individual mandate. Now they're saying, well, if there's no individual mandate, you can't require pre-existing conditions because that's too much of a burden on businesses. So essentially, he's leading a lawsuit to take away your protection if you have a pre-existing condition. And again, you know, think of whatever state you're in the population. I'm in Ohio. I know it here. It's 4.8 million people of a population of about 12 million. It tends to run between a third and 40% of the population has something that falls in that list. So if it's not you, it's somebody you're friends with or you love. And they've realized this is backfired because they spent years going after Obamacare. So they are lying like banshees now. They've got it on TV ads. They've got it in direct mail. They're saying it everywhere that, of course, they always were all in favor protecting this. And for anybody listening who's going to go out and vote, they're all lying.
It's amazing. And here's what's also extremely irritating to me about that. Well, I mean, obviously, that is naked. And hopefully, Democrats across the country are taking advantage of that, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to say, you're part of a lawsuit that is attacking the ACA's pre-existing conditions provision, or you voted against the ACA's pre-existing conditions. And
without an alternative, you voted to get rid of Obamacare and there was no alternative plan.
Absolutely.
So you can say that maybe in your heart you care, which I don't believe either, but say that. But there was nothing you were going to vote for that would make up for that to provide that protection for all of these people. Right?
Look, and here is, I hate to, you know, because we brought up Chuck Schumer earlier. I just want to show you how you could drop the ball on this. All right. Here's Matt House. It's a tweet from Chuck Schumer's spokesperson. He's responding to Trump's tweet and he writes, did he drop his lawsuit to eliminate protections for those with pre-existing conditions and just not tell anybody? Like, I this is super nitpicky of me, but it's indicative of they're just that office just seems to not be able to do politics, because you don't imply that Donald Trump did the right thing and just didn't tell anybody. You say that Donald Trump is lying because he's actually attacking these people. I mean, this is so nitpicky.
And maybe you tour the country and you put stuff all over TV and radio. And yeah, I mean, I know there's a. I mean, remember, a bunch of Republicans are retiring, so they don't have to be, they will never be held accountable for this vote. But there's about 30, I mean, if you know Topher Spiro or follow him on Twitter, he sent out a list that was in Mother Jones. And there's 32 Republicans on this list. I'll retweet it. I did it already a little bit. Maybe I'll share it with you if you want to share it with people on your page, Sam, so people can know and look and see, you know, there's a list here. They're on it. They're all lying. And even the ones who call themselves, you know, moderates, your Carlos Curbelo from Florida, who tries to pretend he's a moderate, you know, Elise Stefanik from New York upstate, who tries to pretend she's a moderate. And some of these other ones are at least moderate-ish. They're not. They all voted to get rid of this multiple times. They're all liars. And the other thing, and I'll say this just as somebody who's worked a lot of this issue, so I know pretty well that people should be careful of and be ready for, is what they're doing now is they've created some other just piece of garbage bill, right, where they're pretending so they can come out and they've got a fig leaf to hide behind it. Oh, look, I'm for that. That would present, that would require that people with pre-existing conditions be covered. And that legislation, which didn't exist before, by the way, all the other times they've voted against Obamacare, is now out there. At least Republicans have put it together. But here's the thing that you need to know about that is that it says you can't get rid of people, kick them off insurance for having a pre-existing condition. However, it says you can discriminate against them and treat them differently and charge them whatever you want.
Right.
So it's kind of like I could say to you, hey, look at that Lamborghini over there. I won't ban you from buying it. You just need to come up with the $300,000 or $400,000 to afford it.
Right. I mean, that's basically how it worked before. Right. I mean, that's more or less how it worked before. We're just going to price you out of this so that it's completely impossible for you to pay for it. And and they tried this.
Have you had Laura Packard on your show at all, Sam?
No, I don't think so.
You know, Laura is she's been at Netroots Nation in the past. She's a progressive. I'll bring it up quickly. She's a progressive activist, has been for years. And a year ago, went into the doctor. She's made this very public, and she's done a tour around the country. Worked with healthcare voter, and was had a sort of cough that wouldn't go away, and was diagnosed. Came out with a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and she's been effectively, you know, thank God, fighting it. But as she's pointed out to people, she's been touring the country because she's still doing that even while she's sick and while she's fighting this, that it cost $4 million to keep her alive last year. So basically what the company could say, hey, we're not going to ban you from having insurance if you've got pre-existing conditions. Well, that's illegal because all these Republicans signed on to that. We're just going to charge you, you know, half of that $4 million. Good luck. I mean, that's what they're talking about here. So it doesn't matter if they say that you have to be allowed to have insurance. You don't have to be treated like everybody else and priced in like everybody else. They can charge you whatever they feel like. So it's very important to know that.
I'm curious is what your sense is. You know, the one of the things I've seen the Republicans push back on, too, is this notion of Medicare for all. Paul Ryan has gone out there, tried to talk about it. What's his face? Azera, is that it, from Health and Human Services? Azan.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, just give me a sense of how that's playing. Like, are you seeing any of that in Ohio?
Yeah, absolutely. That same congressman I talked about, Chabot, in his debate the other night, was trying to pull that up. And the guy in DeWine, who I mentioned running for governor here, what they're trying to say is this is their line also. And that's the line that Trump kind of fudged, because he always gets his talking points at least half wrong because he's such a fucking moron. So he's like, oh, and they'll destroy your Medicare. Like he could remember Medicare and destroy, but he couldn't remember to say Medicare for all will destroy Medicare, which is what their talking point is.
Right.
Because they know that Medicare is one of the most popular programs, if not the most popular in the country. It's kind of up there with Social Security. It's incredibly successful. Its administrative costs and all of that are so far below the overhead of private insurance companies. It's one of the most successful and cost-efficient medical programs in the world. And so and people love it. So the only way they can turn people against it is by trying to scare old people and say, that, you know, well, by giving it to other people, it's going to cost more and it's going to be destroyed, which, of course, is anybody who understands healthcare economics, which is not an easy thing to understand, but has looked into this, knows that they're lying. Because the truth of the matter is that everything gets better. The younger, the more people you add into Medicare who are younger and healthier. So a 50-something is likely to be healthier than a 60-something. And a 40-something is likely to be healthier than a 50-something. So you bring in younger people, it actually is more likely to, for extra costs, Medicare Plus and some of the other things you get, another, it's actually likely to bring the cost down.
Right, because you've expanded the risk
pool. Benefit of,
right.
Right, it has the dual benefit of then you're also doing the opposite and taking the oldest people out of private insurance. So that becomes cheaper, too. It's one of these win-wins where everything works. So they're just making stuff up, right? I mean, it's just all lies. But that's, you know, that's what they do.
It's interesting because I don't know if you remember when Paul Ryan had his plan for Medicare, which was basically to voucherize the whole thing. Right. And there was this big argument. People were like, well, if you privatize Medicare, it's almost definitionally not Medicare. But he was like, no, we're calling it Medicare. And there I remember the press. I mean, you know, that's I don't know if people can fully appreciate this. The press at the time said, well, he is calling it Medicare. That was the line. And
so it must really be Medicare.
Right. And we were pushing back. You know, I can't remember when this was. Maybe this was like sometime during maybe Obama, but maybe before then. And it's like, well, but if you privatize it, the sine qua non, like the thing that makes Medicare Medicare is that it's a government run health insurance program. And if you voucherize it, so it's just money to go to get private insurance, it's not Medicare.
Wait, if I call my roof Medicare, does that make my roof Medicare?
Well, the interesting thing is,
I wonder how far we extend this analogy of, well, they're calling it Medicare.
But
like, do we call anything Medicare and that makes it Medicare?
And it was beaten back because people were like, it is not Medicare as we know it. And I've noticed the Republicans are using that same line. Now, it's a lot less effective because basically, you know, the reality of the policy is, yeah, no, Medicare exactly as it is, but just more of it. And I mean, maybe on some level they should have branded it Medicare More, you know, something like this. But
in the end, they're out there, and you may have talked on your show already. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, what McConnell said just last week, which is, oh, well, you see the 17% increase in the deficit, which is, of course, caused by our tax cuts. He didn't say that, but, you know, a ridiculous tax cut weighted to corporations and all sorts of loopholes for pharmaceutical companies because they're not making enough money. And you know, the top 1%, which 83% of the benefits went to. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to need to cut that deficit. So, you know, we're going to talk about entitlements, which means, of course, Medicare and Social Security. You allow these guys to stay in office. You allow them to continue to control the House and the Senate. That's what they're coming for, to get that. They need to get that money from somewhere. It never changes.
I want to ask you about that, too, because Mitch McConnell is out there saying that we're going to have to cut Social Security and Medicare, more or less. That's what he's saying, right? I don't know how explicit he's been, but we're going to have to look at entitlements. That's what that means. Meanwhile, you have people on the ground who are running for office who are saying, you know, I'm going to protect your Medicare. What's going on with that? Like, Mitch McConnell must know that, at least in terms of messaging, he's crossing things up. What do you think the theory is behind there?
I think it's to keep donors happy. I think they're always trying to balance, you know, Koch brothers and guys like that on the corporate wing that are giving them money. You know, Ricketts and the rest of them that want Social Security and Medicare to be destroyed and know that if they're refusing to mention it and whatever, they probably wouldn't have the guts to do it. So in a way, I think he was sending a signal to them because there's nothing else I can think of makes any sense. Again, Social Security and Medicare are incredibly popular. So it was when numerous Democrats, including Elizabeth Warren, leading the charge, and even as far to the right as Joe Manchin came out in favor of increasing Social Security. So these are not popular things to cut. And the fact that McConnell would come out and say something so tone deaf right before a midterm election makes no sense to me. So I'm using Occam's razor here because I can't figure out anything else, which is he said that because they're not having different Republicans up for election say that around the country, just the leader saying it to sort of reassure, you know, the economic class, the plutocrats who want to get their money's worth.
Interesting.
That's my guess.
Interesting. All right. Well, Cliff, I think that's right. I mean, that sounds right to me. But it is interesting to see which way they will go with that. I don't know if they're actually just. I mean, I don't know. But it is.
Yeah, I think they're hoping that if they say they demonize immigrants enough and run on these kinds of things enough, that comment out there by McConnell, you know, he maybe won't even say it again. He said it once. You know, reassured the people he needed to reassure. And then you move on. But be quite sure that that's what they're coming for. That's not scaremongering. They've said it many times in the past. They've tried it, as they did after George Bush won re-election in 2004. This has been on their list since the Heritage Foundation drew up a line of attack around 1979 when Reagan was coming into office. It's been a long, I mean, really, it's been a plan ever since FDR passed it. But they want this. It's a pool of money that can provide further tax cuts and all the things that they live and die for. So.
Indeed. Cliff Schechter, always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Sam. Take care, buddy.
Thanks. Bye. Cliff Schechter, everybody. There it is. There is the week. Do we have a song from Jimmy Reefer Cake?
No Jimmy Reefer Cake song today.
That's all right. Well, we got to go. We got to be a little quick because we're going to take an airplane and go to California. We will do a fun half because that's the way we roll. Even when we got to get going, we're going to do a fun half. Folks, just a reminder, this program relies on your support for its very existence. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. JoinTheMajorityReport.com. When you become a member, not only do you support the free show every day, we give you extra content every day. And you can get access our archives, whatever it is. So JoinTheMajorityReport.com. Also, don't forget JustCoffee.coop, Fair Trade Coffee, Tea, or Chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, for your listening pleasure this weekend, the Antifada. They answer your questions, right, Jamie?
Indeed, we do.
There you go. Questions answered. You have questions for Antifada? They answer. Check it out on YouTube and on patreon.com/theantifada.
And wherever free podcasts are sold.
And wherever free podcasts are sold for free. Oh, and we're going to talk about Jamie last night. It was hobnobbing last night with some major political figures. We'll talk about that in the fun half. Matt?
Literary Hangover, the Corey Robin episode on the and his Reactionary Mind book is available on YouTube, so check that out.
Check that out, folks. All right, going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920 is the number. I am firing up the phones right now. I don't know if I'm going to have IMs because I don't know if I can set that up, but we'll see.
Right, people back. Can tell them to you over the phone.
There you go. We'll be right back. It's a nice feeling. It's real. It's a nice feeling. Sweetheart, get me a beer. I totally get it. They are. You turn on the TV, some iteration of me. Zero sum game. It's a nice feeling. Zero-sum game. Zero-sum game. It's a nice feeling. You're going to lose your status. He's the king of his zero-sum game. I totally get it. Zero-sum game. They are. Zero-sum game. Sweetheart, get me a beer.